Okay, good morning, boys. Do you have any prayer requests this morning? Wyatt Howerton. Okay, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful sunny day. Thank you that the rain has held off for a little bit. And pray that you would just help us this morning to do your will. We pray for Wyatt Howerton and what he's going through. Lord, just bless him, help him, and be with him. We ask that your will be done, and help us to be a part of your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, where are we at here in Matthew? 23. So, was that starting with verse 1? Is that where we're at? Who was it that had that? Yeah, okay. Alright, we're going to start here reading verse 1 of chapter 23. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it.' Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Okay, here we have a chapter where Jesus was very strongly rebuking the righteous people of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones that were teaching other people how to follow the Lord. And he said there's just a lot of good stuff in here. Just a lot of things that are good for us to hear. We don't fall into the same thing. Trying to follow the Lord, we get turned aside and think we're still righteous, but do some of the things that they did here. These Pharisees, they like other people to see them as good, as great, as teachers. And Jesus just said, he said, don't try to be that way. Don't try to be a teacher. Don't try to be somebody great and trying to just be the hero, the spiritual hero. He just said, just don't be that way. Just humble yourself. He just is looking for people that just follow him and do what's right in front of him rather than trying to be the one at the top telling everyone else what to do. And he goes on and just gives a lot of warnings to these scribes and Pharisees. And he was speaking to the multitudes, it says, and to his disciples. So I imagine there was scribes and Pharisees listening to him. And he was probably just hoping that maybe one or two of them would listen. Goes on to these scribes and Pharisees, they were doing a lot of good things. They were giving gifts, they were tithing, they were probably even sacrificing their money to go to the church, but they weren't doing it because they loved the Lord. They were just doing it because that was what they were trained to do, or that was what they thought would help them to be looked upon by their people with that they were doing something good. They weren't doing it because they loved the Lord and just wanted to give their lives to him. So he goes through all that, and then at the end he says, here you see that Jesus, he had, even though they had done all this wrong stuff, they had killed the prophets and done all that stuff, all that time Jesus was still wanting to give them forgiveness. He wanted to gather them under his wings as a mother hen would do to her chicks, he says at the end. But they wouldn't. They didn't want that. They just were stuck in their way and didn't want to change. So why don't you come up and give your assignment. I'll think of an assignment here for you.
Last week's assignment is to memorized from 37 to 40. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is a great and foremost commandment. The second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments depend the law and the prophets.
Matthew 22:37. He said, love your Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind.
Matthew 22:37-39. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I thought to deal with that. If you love the Lord like it says in there, you do what it says. Just for example, if you love it, you do what it says. I could put that into practice in my life by just doing what it said and just the simple things every day and doing unto others what I'd like for them to do to me.
I could put it into practice by not having as high of an esteem of myself. And if you've got too high the esteem of yourself, you don't have room to love other people as much.
That's not about how I put the last verse in practice about loving my neighbors. If he comes over to our place and wants to tell us a story and I'm trying to work and do something, I should just put myself in his shoes. I mean, he's kind of a lonely old man, but I should just stand there and listen to him like I'd want to be listened to one of these days when I get old.
Verse 40 says, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. That all the practices and things that Jesus taught us all depend on that. And if we can't love the Lord and our neighbor, then we don't have anything. A lot of people, yet they're more worried about the details than they can't even love their brother.
I thought one way you could love God with all your heart is you could, instead of just following God because like your friends or parents are, you do it because you really love Him too. I could do that by thinking about God and praising Him and praying. And I could love my neighbor by helping out when I see things being done. Yeah.
I thought about verse 39. The second, this is a great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love the neighbor as yourself.
I have some struggle with that. Somebody does something to me and I don't like it, I tend to get mad and maybe fight back and say things I shouldn't. I need to work on just loving my neighbor as myself.
Kind of thought about like what Roger said. Need to get not have such a high esteem for ourselves and have more of it for God and other people.
I just love my neighbor as myself by being kind to them and helping them out and not just doing what I would like to
do. It's kind of like what Bill was thinking about, loving your neighbor as yourself. Just everyday life, two of them want to come up and talk to you, just want to talk to you, just kind of busy right now. You don't really want to stop and have a conversation with them, but you just need to think they probably just want someone to talk to, especially the older people. They probably don't have a whole lot of people to talk to, and they like to talk to younger people.
Just to be attentive to the good things that people are trying to teach us as young people. And I was thinking about how that relates with God's creation and how He made everything good, and it shows us what is good and what He loves. And I thought one way to love Him is to love what He loves. And He's allowed thorns in our lives, and there's things to teach us. And I was also thinking about how our life isn't perfect. We're not ever going to get our life just in order to where we don't struggle anymore. And there's always a struggle, but to love God is to be able to go through that and still be a good person. And I was thinking about Jesus, how His entire aim when He came to this earth was to proclaim what His Father taught Him, and He loved it. He really did love what His Father taught Him. And He told us that in John, He talked about praying, and how if we ask the Father for anything, He'll give it to us. And but I was thinking about, we ask according to His will. We don't ask selfishly, but we ask because we love what God loves, and we love His creation. And so whatever we ask God has to do with helping us to do what He wants us to do.
Okay, the assignment for next week, in chapter 23, it talks about all the bloodshed from, like, disabled.